Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Matinair on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matinair. We're welcoming you to the second hour of the show right here on Civic Media. And we are happy to have across the table from us, Mr. Fancy Brian Kelly, who's stuck around for a little bit longer as our guest co-host. How you doing, Brian?
I'm feeling fantastic.
Great.
The coffee's kicking in.
Yeah.
Air conditioning is also kicking in.
Oh, boy.
So it's all a nice mix.
We also have behind the board, of course, Dr. Slide, the board lord, my buddy, Calvin. How you doing?
Doing just fantastic, Greg.
That's great. That's great. We talked about books earlier this week, what Calvin's reading.
I was eagerly listening to that when I had to run down the hallway.
I feel like it just inhales books, and I'm just sitting here like, I just enjoy magazines.
I miss that time in my life because I used to that was my CTA time in Chicago.
Yeah.
I would take the CTA, it would take maybe an hour to get there, and I'm like, great, I'm bringing my book.
Yeah.
And that was my me time. It was, and I've lost that also having a kid also, you know, stops that reading thing.
Oh, well, that's why I've switched to audiobooks myself, but that's, you know.
And that's fantastic, too. Yeah. I love audiobooks as well. I've stuck in the middle of a couple of them.
I've got like three or four there. Hunter S. Thompson book I'll never finish. It's just terrible.
And it's bad when they start like mixing storylines in your head, and then you listen to one, and you're like, this sounds different than what I thought it was.
Jack Ryan is going for the ring in Mordor? That doesn't make sense. Before we go anywhere else further in the discussion here, I wanted to bring up something, a comment that came on the live stream earlier. Oh, that went away. Oh, there it is. Boom. There we go. Annie Grawl, Ola from Barcelona, or as you say, Barcelona.
Barcelona.
Here's your friendly reminder to tell all your folks living, studying, deployed, or retired overseas to use www.votefromabroad.org to request their overseas ballot or their absentee ballots. Be sure to request email delivery. Ballots will be sent on or before September 21st and must be returned by postal mail. So don't dilly-dally. Those are Annie's words. Don't dilly-dally. That's very, very important. Go to votefromabroad.org to vote. If you're living overseas and you are a U.S. citizen, you have a right to cast that ballot, and Vote From Abroad will help you do that. Don't waste time. Make sure you do it before September 21st. You have plenty of time in a regular time frame, but we want to make sure that you get that in. But yeah, go to votefromabroad.org to request your overseas absentee ballot and get your voice heard.
Get that email delivery.
I
don't care if you're worried about an email or not. Get the email delivery. It'll be faster than, you know, postage both ways.
Exactly. And also, you know, hey, we have an election coming up on the 5th of November. I don't know if either of you have heard about this.
I've heard of an election. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's coming up. I guess 68 days until election, which just seems very weird.
That number keeps getting lower every day.
Yeah, I know. I don't like it. Well, I do like it. Well,
I like it and I do. I want to vote now. And then I want to. Can we just wait a minute? And then I want to vote now. Can we vote now? And then wait a minute.
Well, as far as voting early, you can't vote now, but you can vote early. You go to myvote.wi.gov and you can request an absentee ballot be sent to your house and you can vote from home. You take that ballot, you fill it out, then you take it to your municipal building, whether it's town, city, village hall. You're going to give it to them. If you are a lucky municipality who is listening to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, who has ballot drop boxes in your area, you can use those as well. If you live in New Berlin or Brookfield, wap, wap, sorry, you don't. But you can do that. So go to myvote.wi.gov to request an absentee ballot. Look at your ballot, what's on it.
Yeah.
As well as see where your polling place is, because sometimes they change. And most importantly, are you registered? Wisconsin is a same-day registration state. For now, who knows? But if you aren't registered, that just lets you know that you're going to spend a little bit longer in the line. This will be a long line for registration this year. This is an important election. So make sure if you don't register before then, you make a plan, take a snack, wear comfy shoes. But if you don't want to do that, you can register online. You can do that right away. And then you can request that ballot and you can knock it out.
I also want to tell you, if you have a day, go into your local municipality and say hi.
Yes.
Go talk to your city clerk. I want to shout out to Catherine Reske for Oak Creek. Our elections are pretty darn smooth. They were absolutely smooth through the COVID situation, and they are more than happy to help you
I mean, honestly, like my wife and I lived through the 2020 primary election when people were like, what's this COVID thing?
Yeah.
And that's when the GOP decided to shrink our polling places down to 5 in the city of Milwaukee for 600,000 people.
That's ridiculous.
And we went and we were expecting a 3-4 hour experience, masking up, social distancing. I mean, this is, you know, if any of this is triggering you anti-vaxxers, I'm sorry, but this is the way it was. We were masked. We were social distancing. We were in a school gymnasium. We were in and out in an hour.
That's awesome.
In an hour.
That's amazing.
And it went fast. And I don't want to say it was fun, but I think there was an energy about it as if to say, oh, you're going to try to suffocate our vote? No, we're going to show up. We're going to be kind. We're going to be fun. We're going to do this. And it was great.
I love that.
I loved it too. I absolutely did. I mean, I don't want it again. I don't want people. I want people to have the variety of.
Oh, but think of all the municipal, think of all the civil servants.
Yeah.
That had to work to make that work and work smoothly.
Oh my gosh. With yeah.
Hundreds of thousands of people looking at them going, yeah. But still doing their job and doing it smoothly. Shout out to all civil servants who are yes. just doing their job regardless of party.
Whether you're going to vote early or on the day, as Brian said, go in there. You be incredibly kind, very respectful, appreciative. You say thank you. Tell them to have a nice day. I mean, hey, if you have the time and the money, even offer them. Be like, once you're done, be like, can I get y'all some water? I don't know the rules on buying them snacks once you voted, but I know that people will donate food sometimes. So, yeah, just respect the poll workers. Respect the people who are giving of their time and energy on this day. They are amazing individuals. So I feel like we just gotten off on a tangent that I began.
No, it's a great tangent to be on, though. Yeah. It's the tangent to be on, especially with 68 days left.
Well, I wanted to talk about this really quick here. So, you know, one of the things that Kamala Harris, vice president, presidential nominee, is trying to push through is an economic plan that includes a law against price gouging from private corporations. And it's caught some flack, which I totally understand. That is like the epitome of government getting in the way of business.
Yeah, I'd like to see the specifics as to how that, like any big program, I want to know how that's going to work.
And this is the thing is in a perfect world, do I think she wants it to work? That didn't feel like a good sentence, but still. Or possibly, and this is just my brain, is she working towards an idea of bringing that the notion of price gouging to the mainstream as far as being aware of who is doing it? Instead of, you know, trying to make it happen, you try to make it happen. If it doesn't work, it's still out there in the zeitgeist, on the headlines. People are, whether they're bad or good, they're talking about it. And it makes the consumer more aware of the prices around them.
Yes. I think if that's the end result, I think that's a win.
I think so too. And I was reading an article on a website, and it was reason.com, and I don't think it was a very good article, and maybe because I disagree with it, but it was talking about the fact that it is not the government's place to take care of price gouging. In fact, if there are price increases, it is the government's fault. And I'm going to read something really quick. It said here, it says, most economists say that the factors including, quote, snarled supply chains, a sudden shift in consumer buying patterns, and the increased customer demand fueled by stimulus from the government and low rates from the Federal Reserve are far more responsible than corporate behavior for the rise in prices. I get that. Those are very fancy words. Wouldn't you say fancy, Brian?
Yeah, they are fancy words, and they are all also part of it, but it's also not all government done.
No, because at the end of the day, governments do not decide the prices at places like Target or Amazon or Walmart or Kroger. And I bring up Kroger because Newsweek just published an article that headline reads, Kroger executives admit company gouged prices above inflation.
Huh.
This doesn't read Kamala Harris and Joe Biden did it. Kroger executives admit to doing this. So I do not understand how anyone can believe that the government is responsible for the higher prices. There were mitigating factors, low interest rates are one.
Mm-hmm.
The supply chain was another thing.
Sure is when they're stuck.
And not to mention the regular supply, the regular increase of prices. Things just go up. You know, toothpaste cost $5 last year. It cost $6 or $6.50 this year. That's something you can wrap your brain around. But when toothpaste goes from $5.50 to $9,
yeah,
then that's not government. That's the corporation saying, well, they'll pay for it.
Yes.
Therefore, we can do it.
And it's not like other corporations are competing to lower those prices because you mentioned Kroger.
Yeah.
Kroger's one of maybe 4 or 5 total grocers in the entire United States.
Yes. They own a lot.
They own almost all of it.
Yeah.
I used to work for them because I used to work for Roundy's.
Yeah.
Which now is Kroger.
Yeah. Which
Roundy's was big.
My friend worked for Pick and Save. Then they worked for Roundy's. Now they work for Kroger.
Now they work for Kroger. And there are certain things that come with benefits of that. There are also, Kroger has its own line, private selection stuff of, you know, other off-brand of the generic brand of the main name. And you can get a lower price on it. But when you're selling both things and you own both things, it's easier to go and say, well, look, that one's used to be 5 and now it's 9. But the other one is now 7.
And the companies know at the end of the day, people aren't going to really blame the companies. They might be a little frustrated, but they're going to point their finger at the government because news says the government did this. And people are like, well, if they said so, it must be true.
I'll point the finger at the government because they're not enforcing antitrust laws and they should probably maybe, you know, break up some monopolies.
There you go. And we're going to keep the conversation going on the other side of the break. We have Fancy Brian Kelly as our guest co-host this morning. We got Calvin on the boards. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Mattinair. You are listening to Mattinair on Air, and you can call in 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Text us, call us, leave a comment on the live stream, but stick with us, stay close. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome back to Mattinair on Air. My name is Greg Bach. I'm sitting in for Jane Mattinair. Across from me, we have Fancy Brian Kelly as our guest co-host this morning. On the boards, we have Calvin, the board lord. Calvin, do you like when people do you want people to know your last name? Do you care? I'm never sure, Calvin.
I don't particularly care. It's just kind of a mouthful.
Butenhoff. That was easy.
Oh, it's not that hard.
There it is. Did I say it right? I said it right.
I'd say,
yeah, you got it.
Yeah, I did. All right.
Butenhoff is about as easy as Kamala.
There you go. And we've been talking about price gouging and corporate responsibility and the fact that while government can play a role in it, it's definitely not something where your shoes were $50 and now they're 100. So now that's Joe Biden's fault.
I want to bring up a little story post COVID.
Yeah.
You know how people got all these, you know, corporations got these loans and all this money back and whatever. I want to tell you a story about Kimberly Clark. Kimberly Clark.
I don't know her.
Kimberly Clark. They make a lot of the bathroom tissue.
Oh yeah,
big Wisconsin corporation.
Yeah.
Or at least a lot of their stuff was based here. They had a factory up north.
Yeah.
And they were shutting it down. And at the same time, they got a whole bunch of money. And they used it for stock buybacks. In fact, 95% of the money they got back from the tax cuts were this is Trump tax cuts. They got a whole bunch of money back, and they used it for stock buybacks instead of funding the plant that they were going to shut down. At the same time, they asked for funding on the level of Foxconn because Foxconn was getting government funding, and they wanted government to pay for more stuff for them to keep their factory open. So they're crying poor at the same time as they were using stock buybacks to take care of their shareholders. Do not believe when a giant corporation like Kroger or a giant corporation like Kimberly-Clark tells you that they are poor, they are lying to you.
Mm.
When the Brewers tell you that they are a small market team and can't afford to pay players, they are lying to you. Because if they are not making money, great, sell the company.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, you're just, they are lying to you.
Yeah.
And again, I don't begrudge them making profits. I don't begrudge them making a lot of profits. But don't crap in a bowl and call it a sundae. Just don't.
I don't disagree with you. And I think that brings up another conversation of when people talk about, you know, we're talking about welfare and the welfare state and stuff like that. Well, if we stopped corporate welfare and we made billionaires pay their fair share, we made companies pay their fair share, we wouldn't have to worry about a lot of things because that money flowing in, that tens of billions of dollars, if not more, probably more, would take care of a lot of programs that they wouldn't want to fund in the first place.
And a lot of people forget that they talk about these big corporations making their money, completely forgetting that those corporations have hundreds and sometimes thousands of people that are contributing to the money that they make.
Yeah.
So they're actual people making, they're profiting off of the labor of people. And going back to the union thing, this makes it, making sure that everybody else in that company gets the fair share of what they get,
yeah,
makes sure that everybody is fine. And by the way, that corporation is going to be fine. I also want to flag a little comment I just saw from Andrew in Maine.
Yeah, I want to talk about actually a lot of them.
Yeah, increased wages can increase prices through the federal minimum wage, but the federal minimum wage hasn't changed since 2009, so it's hard to blame the federal government for increased retail wages or retail wages.
Yeah, and he said regulations can increase retail prices. Not sure if any significant regulations have been implemented or laws passed requiring new regulations. Which,
they're beating a drum that has already been beaten and broken down.
If anything, they're deregulating.
Yes.
It's stripping the regulations that usually have to do with health and things like that. Fuel prices can increase retail. And this is, by the way, this is all Andrew from Maine. Fuel prices can increase retail prices. Of course, I think back to the conversation with Mr. Global, which was last Monday. You can go back and listen to that interview with Matt Randolph and who and how oil production levels were set. And I will just leave it there. Now, that's something else to really pay attention to, because it's something I learned in the interview with Matt Randolph. It's not about, it has less to do with what is oil being traded at today. It's about the deals that were struck 6 months, a year, 2 years ago.
Yes.
That's influencing the price of gas now. So you have to be aware of that. And I'm not saying I'm the most aware person on that.
Nope.
But when I drive past the pump, and right now I can drive past one right by the station, and it's like $2.99. I no longer even say like, well, are we going to congratulate Biden? Because if it was over $3 or $3.20, people are like, oh, Biden and the gas prices. I'm like, well,
why are those stickers are everywhere.
Why aren't we congratulating him now? Because it's under $3. But I found out it's never about who's in charge right now. It's about the deal struck months, if not years beforehand, and how they play out to affect the United States and our economy. I want to read something really quick here. This is about the story that was in Newsweek regarding Kroger's admission. And it said, this is not surprising at all, Drew Powers, the founder of Illinois-based Powers Financial Group, told Newsweek. Companies across multiple industries have been posting record profits since COVID-19 crisis, while consumers have faced the highest inflation in recent history. The math can only point to companies raising prices above the general level of inflation. As the old saying goes, never let a good crisis go to waste.
Yep.
And they took advantage of that. They took advantage of stimulus checks coming in our pockets, sitting at home, bored and sad.
Yeah, but that stimulus check really proved that, it's a consumer-based economy.
Yeah.
We stayed alive because we all spent that.
Yeah, but you got that money, people spent that money, and then we started buying more things, and then just we got to remember that was 4 years ago.
Yep.
Prices on a regular scale are going to go up over 4 years, but you put the supply chain issues on there. You put price gouging on there, and that's where we're at. And it's not, I'm not saying that the government doesn't play a hand in pricing it to the nth degree. But what I'm saying is when I look at a product at Target and Walmart and Amazon, and the reason why I brought these up is because all three of these companies have in the past few months touted their slashing prices on thousands, 4,000 to 5,000 products in their stores because they realize people are hurting and probably getting quick to the game on what they're doing in the first place. So all these corporations I mentioned, Amazon, Walmart, Target, slashing prices, Kroger admits to price gouging over inflation. That is the bigger conversation. Not whether or not you think Bidenomics failed or is a success. It's what they're doing in those boardrooms and how they're using our tax money versus the non-taxes they're paying.
And they finally made a calculation that the people have figured out that they're getting price gouged, and maybe they can make more money if they get in front of it and drop their prices ahead of time.
Exactly. Fancy Brian Kelly, I want to thank you for joining me this morning.
Of course.
We got Paul Noonan coming up in a little bit to talk all things sports balls. I'm sure we're going to be talking about Packer stuff.
There will be no Caddyshack references whatsoever.
Only Caddyshack 2 references.
Oh, good call.
Best sequel ever.
They're going to try and get me. I don't understand. This is crazy. You want some ants?
But we got Paul Noonan coming up after this, then followed by Weather and Wine with Brittany Merlot. It's going to be a good rest of the show, a great rest of the show, but it was made great by Mr. Fancy Brian Kelly. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. You can feel free to call us, drop us a line, text us, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. Either way, we want you to stick around, be part of the conversation. I'm going to miss you. Stay close.
I'll see you. I'll be right like over here.
I was
here.
Talking to the audience.
Oh, good talk.
There you go. You're listening to this Matt and Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close.
If you want to get along with me.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air this week and next week. She's on vacation and we share the best, having a fun, relaxing time. If you want to get in touch with us, you can call 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can text us at the same number. You can also drop a comment on the live stream. We are on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform people still call Twitter, whether or not that makes Elon Musk happy or not. I don't care. But it's Thursday, and he is here every other Thursday. He is a writer for the Acme Packing Company. He is also our sports guru, which is the most important thing in the world. Paul Noonan, welcome to the show, sir. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing well. You froze up a little bit there, Paul. If we freeze up, we can just call the studio too. So, but we got a lot of stuff coming up. Packers starts this week, right? The season starts this week.
Yeah. Apologies for that. Not sure what's up with my internet today. The Packers kick off next Friday in Brazil against the Eagles. They just had to make all of their major cutdowns this week, and so. It's been an exciting week just from the perspective of getting the team to the 53-man roster. So some surprising cuts, actually. The Packers have been a ruthless organization the last couple of years out of positions they view as important. And so they have an all-new quarterback. They have an all-new kicker. And their cuts were scooped up by other teams pretty quickly. So a good testament to the strength of the roster. But they've got some work to do before Philadelphia next. Because they've got a couple new players they got to get integrated.
Well, now what? So I am not the most adept at football, so I'm gonna ask on all behalf who are asking to their radios or their phones. How many players are on the team right now, and why do they have to get to 53?
So they're now at 53.
They are at 53 now. Okay.
They also have the practice squad where they can stash developmental players. The practice squad, though, can be rated if people will add people to the starting lineup or to their actual active roster. So everybody signs practice squad guys after the cutdown happens. The practice squad guys can be stolen if you are able to add them to your 53-man roster, or if guys are just mad at you, they'll go elsewhere. But 53 is the the standard number of players you get to bring into the season for three games. So the big cuts for everybody happened this week. And the Packers, like, for instance, Grant Dubose, one of the receivers, has been a bit of a preseason star. He was a seventh-round draft pick last year, and they couldn't fit him on the, team. He was swiped up by Miami almost instantly. Safety Anthony Johnson Jr., who was a preseason star and had a few good games last year, some bad ones, but good games too, couldn't find room for him. They drafted three safeties this year. They signed Xavier McKinney, and Anthony Johnson Jr. is now a member of the Giants, despite doing quite well in the preseason. The other big one was Christian Welch, a linebacker who they kind of needed for special teams, but couldn't fit him as well. And he has moved on to Baltimore. So they had to make some tough decisions. And I think they were hoping to squeak a few of those guys onto their practice squad, but other teams gobbled them right up.
Now, so this, I think you kind of answered my question when I was going to ask, are these players who we didn't find a place for or kind of lost to time, do you think that's going to be a detriment to the team, or do you think they'll be able to make up for it with the team they've got right now?
So Anthony Johnson Jr., the safety, he didn't make it because they're strong at safety, or yeah, at least they invested a lot of resources. But they did make a bit of an odd decision. They kept 10 offensive linemen. That's a lot. Most teams keep 9 offensive linemen. And the back of that is very developmental. The big one for me, I think, is Welch. The Packers have not had good special teams play for, I don't know, for a long time, since Desmond Howard was on the team. But it's going back too far. They've had okay ones since then. But they've been trying to build up sort of a core of special teams specialists, and it keeps not working. Those guys keep having to play on defense when defense players get hurt. One of those is from last year, Rudy Ford, who ended up playing safety for them a lot, but is supposed to just be a special teams player. And Christian Welch is supposed to mostly just be a special teams player and also a useful backup at linebacker, and he's gone. They find themselves once again with, I think, kind of a light coverage team on special teams. And so that's not a good place to start. But the other place that is really harming special teams is they can't find a kicker. And so they had Andrew Carlson and Greg Joseph in camp. Both performed poorly, especially in the last game of the last preseason game. Anders Carlson just whiffed like a 30-yard field goal. It should have been easy peasy. Mm-hmm. Has had a really, really bad camp. They cut both of them. Greg Joseph and Anders Carlson are gone. They signed Braden Narbison, who was released by the Tennessee Titans, and he's going to be their kicker. brand new kicker. He's a rookie. He has never played in the NFL before. And they just were not happy with what they were getting. And they did have a lot of guys in camp. They cycled through 5 or 6 kickers through camp. And this is what we're going with. So special teams still unsettled.
Now, as I said, I'm not the – and by the way, I want some credit, Calvin, for this. I opened up this discussion with Paul about Packers. I didn't bring up – I could have made it all Brewers talk the entire time. I know people want to talk about the Packers. I know the name A.J. Dillon has been running around people's minds a lot. I've seen a lot of headlines about him, a lot of people talking on social media about him. What is going on with A.J. Dillon?
A.J. Dillon's Packer career is probably over. It's not officially over, but he was placed on season-ending injured reserve. There's sort of two levels of injured reserve. There's one that does allow you to bring people back. But there is another version where if the injury is viewed as severe, you're just done for the year. Tyler Davis was also put on that, their special teams ace tight end. But A.J. Dillon, they decided they didn't like a few neck injuries and stingers he had suffered.
Yeah.
The Packers are traditionally careful with those injuries. They do not mess around with the head and the neck. And they decided that they were going to put A.J. on that IR. He is done for the year, no matter how he heals up. He was already on a bit of a strange contract that does not guarantee he comes back next year. And I'm not 100% sure he was entirely happy with that decision himself. They have other running backs they can use. And AJ is very popular. You know, he's very popular with his Door County presence and antics. But he's probably done as a Packer after this.
Talk about Door County antics another time. But is this sort of thing going to cost the Packers, or because it's a unique contract will allow them to, you know, if he's injured, they're like, all right, we're going to cut ties, have a good day, and they'll probably pay him some money, but it's not going to cost them a huge amount because of this.
It really won't. There was not actually a huge market for AJ this last offseason. His contract was extremely team-friendly. They actually could have cut him outright without suffering much in terms of cap consequences, and they can really just move on without any impact at all. They're set at depth at running back. They'll have Josh Jacobs, and they'll have Marshawn Lloyd, who they drafted, and Emmanuel Wilson played very well in preseason. So I think this is just going to end up being a clean break.
Okay. If you're just joining us, we have got Paul Noonan, our sports guru here on Matt and Air on Air. If you have any sports questions, feel free to text us, 855-752-4842, or drop a comment in the live stream, give us a call. But let's turn our attention to the Brewers, who I am, to quote Fran Hong of the Wisconsin Assembly, I am nauseously optimistic about the rest of our season. We are 9 games ahead of the Cardinals, and when we lose to the Cardinals and we lose to teams like Oakland, it makes me nervous. But then we sweep Cleveland and we split a series with the Dodgers. It just feels like this has been the story the whole season. It's like, all right, don't get too arrogant, because we're gonna lose to the Oakland Athletics.
By the way, we're actually not up on the Cubs. The Cardinals are 10.5 back.
Oh, they're 10. My mistake. I'm sorry. The Cubs are. Oh, that's Cards, right.
Yeah. I think the Cards are kind of dead. So first of all, this is a big lead with not that many games left. We're probably okay. But if
you heard that, Calvin, he says no big deal.
If you're going to be worried about any team, you should worry a little bit about the Cubs. They seem to have gotten themselves together a little bit. They had an atrocious bullpen to start the year, and they seem to have gotten around, and they made some good additions. Craig's doing a better job managing it down there. And we have seen Craig Counsell go on huge September runs for our team.
Yes.
And the Cubs certainly have resources, and they can kind of leverage an improved bullpen into doing something similar. So if anybody's going to go on a big tear, it's probably them. They've also they have a young outfielder named Pete Crow Armstrong, who hasn't been able to hit until about 2 weeks ago. is one of the fastest players in baseball and has also driven a good offensive resurgence for them with some other guys. But it's a big lead. As long as the Brewers keep playing something like .500 baseball, they'll be fine. And honestly, it's, I think, okay to look at the potential for a bye that's still out there. They're only 3 games behind the Dodgers, 3 games in the win column, 2 in the loss. And only 1 behind the Phillies, and they still have a series against the Phillies. So they're still alive for a bye, and getting a bye is huge in baseball. Just being able to take out a 3-game series where you can just randomly lose to anybody is a huge benefit. Yeah. So I'm taking the optimistic turn with the Brewers and saying they can get this done. Like, they're going to get some bullpen help themselves. Their offense has been playing quite a bit better, even in the post-Yelich era here. And I'm looking ahead, not behind. I think everybody in the division is pretty much dead at this point.
I'm going to hook my wagon to your star, Paul Noonan, because I want to look ahead. I feel more excited about this Brewers team than I have in a long time. I mean, they haven't been terrible, but they just make it just good enough to that first round of the playoffs. They get to hang the flag on the stadium that says they've won the division, but then they get knocked out in the first round, and it just seems like that's our plight every year. And I feel like this is a year where we can go further. If we get that bye and we can go further, I feel like they can really leverage some good ball playing and go deeper into the playoffs. Because I, you know, when we were playing the Dodgers, I noticed our record is not like, people like to think, oh, the Dodgers are playing so well. I mean, they did really well last year, but they're not playing as well this year. They're not winning as many games. And our record is comparable to almost every single team in first place in Major League Baseball.
It is. The Brewers, I think, what differentiates them from years past is they actually are elite at something, which is defense. They are second in the league in home run robberies after Blake Perkins took one away the other day. And having an elite trade is good. The Dodgers, by the way, are not a sure thing to win their division. They still have quite a few games against Arizona. Arizona's like 3 back there. And I think Arizona has the best post All-Star break record of any team in baseball. Worth keeping an eye on them, too, because they're a hot team that has been annoying for us in the past. And they might get home. The Padres, by the way, are right there too. That's the most interesting race in all of baseball. But this Brewers team is well made for the playoffs, because if they do get a lead, they can just grind you to dust with pitching and defense. And so that's what I'm kind of looking forward to once we actually get to the postseason.
My friend out of nowhere just sent me a text last night saying he's a Mets fan, and just that Arizona crushing the Mets last night, he was just so distraught. I was like, I didn't realize how, you know, how they're coming up, because I don't really, you know, pay attention to Arizona that much. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Is there anything else that we should be looking out for? I mean, we've got Badgers starting up soon. What else is going on?
Against Western Michigan on Friday, tomorrow. And it's nice to have college football back. I guess the one other thing I wanted to mention really quick, going back to the Packers, is they also excised their entire quarterback room. They traded for Malik Willis from Tennessee, who is a developmental prospect. He is a great athlete. He's not the best passer. But it's put them in an interesting position where they don't really have a true guy who can come in if Love gets hurt.
Gotcha.
They kept Sean Clifford on the practice squad, and they can elevate him. But it'll be interesting to watch what happens. I mean, knock on wood, hopefully Love is fine all year.
Yeah.
But they don't have a backup who can just come in.
Excellent. Paul Noonan's here every other Thursday for the Acme Packing Company. Paul, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate your insight, and I'm hooking my wagon to your star, Brewers all the way. Thanks for talking to us. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks, buddy.
That's good. Thanks, guys.
All right. Take care. You were listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network, coming up with Brittany Merlot with Weather and Wine. Stay close. Don't go anywhere. Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're happy to have you here today on Thursday. We're having a great conversation talking to Brian Kelly, Paul Noonan. You can be part of the conversation by calling 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Right now, it's Thursday. It's Thursday, right? My goodness, Calvin. It's Thursday. All right. It's Thursday. It's 11:50. That means only one thing. It is time for Weather and Wine with Civic Media's own meteorologist, Brittany Merlot. How are you doing, Brittany?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. Thank you very much. What's going on, my friend? I sent you a message like, what do you want to talk about? And you're like, I got stuff I want to talk about today. So first of all, let's start with the weather. What's going on this weekend?
All right. So first and foremost, I know a lot of people are hitting the road today. They were smart. They took the day off tomorrow, right? So they're traveling all around the state. Well, just keep in mind that we do have a line of strong storms moving in this evening. In fact, if you're headed up to the northwest parts of the state, this is going to be moving in around 6 o'clock this evening. So up to the north, there is definitely a potential of some strong damaging wind gusts, some large hail, and heavy, heavy, heavy rain. We're talking 1 to 2 inches of rainfall coming down pretty quickly. So as this line moves down to the southeast, it'll probably be towards Eau Claire or the La Crosse area around 8 o'clock or so. And then it kind of starts to fizzle out a little bit more as it heads towards central Wisconsin, Wausau area around 10. So this is where the rain amounts really start to drop off. So as it continues southeast through the state, probably around 2 a.m. or so, it'll be around Madison or the Fox Valley. You're looking at more just some gusty winds and then about a half an inch to an inch of rainfall. Now, that's still pretty decent.
Yeah.
Does fizzle out a little bit more as it goes towards Milwaukee and the lakeshore around 4 to 5 o'clock in the morning. So you'll still have some showers lingering to start your day off tomorrow. But by the time we get to the afternoon, the entire state is going to be sunny. We're not going to have any more clouds out there. It's going to be a bit breezy, but just beautiful, beautiful weather, because a high pressure system is going to be settling in and just dominating the entire Labor Day weekend, which couldn't be any better timing.
Well, I'm certainly hoping some of that good weather follows me to Indiana, because that's where I'm going to be all weekend. But I'm certainly happy that all y'all in Wisconsin are going to be going to have some rain, but going to get some nice, nice weather at the back end there. That's very, very wonderful to hear. To take a bit of a twist, last week when you and I were talking, we were talking about mosquitoes and being aware of, like, you know, the kinds we have here in Wisconsin and what they can bring. You got something interesting in your inbox today. Why don't you talk about that, Brittany?
Yes, I did. So the DHS is reporting the first deaths from West Nile virus in Wisconsin. So that kind of shocked me. I didn't realize that two Wisconsinites had died. One was put in the hospital from it. And across the country, there's 100 human cases throughout 26 states.
Wow.
So this release here says these cases came from Outagamie County, Fond du Lac County, and Brown County. So that's heavy in the Fox Valley right there.
Yeah.
I know when I was living there, there wasn't a lot of mosquitoes, right? So I don't know if this is the woods just outside of it or where they're coming from. But obviously, these mosquitoes have West Nile throughout our state. So if we're headed out to the woods or doing stuff outdoors this weekend, you're really going to want to protect yourself.
You know, one thing I noticed, and I'm not, and maybe it's because I spent a lot of time indoors this summer with the air conditioning where it's wonderful because I'm always hot, but even when I was outside, I didn't notice, and this is a knock on wood situation, and if it's happening to you, don't blame me, but I didn't notice a lot of mosquitoes, and maybe I wasn't in the right places, but you feel like even a summer in Wisconsin, you hit July and August, you're just, even if you're walking outside with the dog, you're just getting run over by mosquitoes, and I didn't feel like there were a lot. I could be wrong.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I know in the woods. I'm in the woods.
Yeah.
Year up here.
Did the DHS in that information you found, did they any precautions besides, like, of course, you staying inside, protecting yourself, you know, using bug spray, but is there anything else people can do to mitigate being around that?
Unfortunately, no. That's really all that we can do to protect ourselves from it. I mean, obviously, people older than 60 with weaker immune systems, if you have different things going on like diabetes or cancer or an organ transplant, you're going to want to stay inside just because this virus can affect you much quicker and harder, right? Yeah. So if you're younger, you're probably fine. I just wouldn't want it because you can get sick from it. You can get flu-like symptoms and be okay. But who wants those flu-like symptoms, right? Just cover up.
Yeah, cover up. Get yourself protected. Just take care of yourself. Take care of the people around you. We say that all the time, especially this past week with the heat. Check on the people who are elderly or immunocompromised. Make sure they're being taken care of. And, you know, if you can help them out, do that. Now, Brittany, it is a holiday weekend. We've got the Monday off. Ooh. And, you know, whether are you going to be storm chasing, flying up in a plane, climbing a mountain, punching a giant? What are you doing this weekend that is monumentally cooler than what I'll be doing?
I think I'm going to be doing the typical thing that everyone else is, just heading up to the Northwoods, doing some boating out on a pontoon, probably some stand-up paddle boarding, and lots of camping, bonfires, grilling, and lots of good food, family and friends.
Oh, my gosh. She said the magic word, Calvin. She said pontoon.
Which one?
Pontoon. It's always pontoon. That's the only boat I would ever entertain buying, because it just, who doesn't love a floating living room?
Oh, it's so true. I saw a stand-up jet ski last weekend.
Of course you did. Do you know what I did last weekend, Brittany? I took a quality nap. That's what I did.
I did that too. I'm glad you did that.
Thank you. We all need one. I appreciate that. You can always hear her here on Civic Media and our show, Matt and Air on Air, on Thursdays in our last segment to kick off the weekend pretty much, because we're going to count Thursday as the beginning of the weekend. Brittany, thank you so much for joining us today and giving us the weather update as well as some interesting information on mosquitoes. Everyone listening to Brittany, please protect yourself. You have yourself, Brittany, a wonderful, safe, and adventurous weekend.
Thank you so much. You too.
All right. We'll talk to you later, my friend. And everyone listening, thank you so much for watching on the live stream, listening on the radio, or on your device of choice. We cannot do this without you. Without you, there is no us. I want to thank Calvin, of course, for controlling the boards, the engineers for controlling the towers, and all of you for listening. We really, really appreciate it. You can always get in touch with us by emailing us, janesays@civicmedia.us. Up next is Todd Alba with the Todd Alba Show from noon to two. That's going to be following the news. But for now, we're going to bid you adieu, goodbye, farewell. Take care. Have a great day, everyone. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. on Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.